Gospel from the book of Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house of the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock, our redeemer, our savior. Amen. I delight in this series of Isaiah texts of Advent and Christmas. They are so good and rich of texts. There is so much to imagine in them. So much that when I hear the words of Isaiah, I want to move. It's hard for me to sit still. As the lesson that Jared read today, this evening, I can see the rods of oppression breaking. The bar across the shoulder snapped and fallen to the ground. The burdensome yoke that the people carried lifted and tossed into the fire. And then I see dancing. From their bonds, these people have been captive, and they're free from their bonds, and they are dancing. Upright they are, not beaten down. The Isaiah text reads, "The people who walked in great darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you." The joy of the nation is increased. The people are free and they are dancing. They must be. How could they not? The war is over. They roll up the bloody garments and they throw them into the fire, and they move on. They move on because it's a new day. They move on because no longer will they carry the shackles of their past. No longer will they be bent over in pain and weariness. It is a new day, a new hope. It is a new child. For a child has been born to us. a son given for us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority will grow and there shall be endless peace. Endless peace. I can hardly imagine that. Endless peace. Justice, righteousness, and endless peace. It's a picture that Isaiah paints for us of undeniable life. A picture of such life, such joy. Joy and peace. And with that must come dancing, I'm convinced. I imagine the angels were dancing that night in the shepherds' fields. At first, this was a terrifying sight for the shepherds, not accustomed, of course, to having heavenly visits such as this. And why? Why would God come to earth to choose shepherds, after all, as the spin doctors of such an event? Who trusted a lowly shepherd? Their status could be the same probably as a migrant worker of today. Why would they be the first, after Mary and Joseph, to receive the news about this child, this Holy One? Why the shepherds? Outsiders as they were, why would they be the ones to get the inside scoop? And the angel spoke, as Isaiah had, of joy again, of peace again. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing to you good news of great joy, not just for you, but for all people. To you is born this day a Savior, a Messiah, the Lord. And then more messengers joined this one, and they said, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors. Whom God favors. Makes us wonder, who does God favor? Exactly who are they? This birth that we celebrate tonight is led to the ministry of those that Jesus favored. The marginalized, the unclean. Luke's gospel is clear to say that Jesus' agenda, his preference, was to reach out to the poor, the lonely, the lost, the weary, the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. And then you can hear it. The rods of oppression breaking. The bar across the shoulder snapping in two. The burdensome yoke that Isaiah spoke about ready to be tossed into that fire with the other vestiges of war. All these hopes, all these promises wrapped up in a little child with humble lodgings, surrounded at his birth by strangers, many strangers, migrants. They entered his birthplace, probably waking him up. It wouldn't be the first time that nervous followers had stirred Jesus from his sleep. Peace and healing, endless shalom, all wrapped up in this child. Who did he favor? In his ministry, he reached out to the widow, the orphan, the stranger. He healed the outcast. He touched the leper. He spoke to women and Gentiles. He embraced the tax collectors. And for a glimmering moment, when Jesus dared to do these things, for a moment, the people who were walking in darkness saw some light. For a glimmering moment, in the face of authorities, salvation reigned. Wholeness was had. Humanity picked off the seals off its blinded eyes, and we saw our neighbor. We dared to love our neighbor, the stranger, the outcast, the lost. We see the hope, the undeniable life that Christ brings. When we dare to love the homeless teenager disowned by her parents because she's gay, we see the undeniable life of Christ that Christ brings when we dare to to care for the illegal alien afraid to return home for fear of death. We see the undeniable life which Christ brings to us when we dare to see the Iraqi soldier as our brother, or the prostitute as our new sister. And so today we tell the story of the Christ child, as we have heard so many times before. We hear the words of endless peace, of true shalom, everlasting, and we try to fathom in our minds what Isaiah could possibly mean about what it could look like to have increased joy among nations. And we ask, who's dancing now? What nations are dancing now? Where is the hope? And what does it look like? The hope of salvation for this world, this entire creation. Ironically, the hope for the life, the hope for life, is tied to Jesus' death and resurrection. Last year, Cassie Bowman, in her portrayal of Joseph in the Sunday School Christmas program, the Eternal Sunday School Christmas program, she tied together the whole meaning of Christmas, strangely enough, and with her bold costume design, whether or not she realized it, she tied together the Christmas and the Easter story all in one. Not that many people noticed it, but around the neck of this little Joseph hung a necklace, and on this necklace hung a cross. A cross on this Joseph. As all those present in Jesus' birth gathered around this child, they clung to his every movement and gesture. They looked into his future with great hope. But the shepherds had no idea that they would be gathered together perhaps 30 some odd years later, only this time clinging to each other as Jesus hung on the cross. It was through the life and death and resurrection of Christ that Jesus became the Savior that the angel spoke of that night, the Messiah. It was the beginning of life for them and us. The shepherds knew not how this baby's life would end, but we do. We know that his life ends in the cross, the tomb, and then the resurrection. This Christ that we speak of tonight is full of undeniable life. And we cannot tell the Christmas story without telling the Easter story. Jesus ministered not only to those who are suffering, but he himself knew that pain. Not only does this God dare to join humans in the birth of this night and life, but also in death and ultimately new life, abundant life, undeniable life. On Cassie's necklace, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ was all portrayed. In the cross she was wearing around her neck, she was showing us the future that Christ would be part of, and which we are part of today. You and I are Christ's hands as we pray for peace in Iraq and war-torn countries. You and I are Christ's heart as we advocate for children's rights and as we welcome one another, stranger, into our families. We are Christ's light as we support and pray for the ministries of AIDS projects and at St. Martin's at Westlake for homeless men. And so we encounter the grace of God, which pulls us back into the dance of undeniable life, into abundant life, pulls us in where Christ shines on us in our darkness and sets us free. God's grace moves us beyond what we could do ourselves, moves us beyond ourselves, frees us so that we are free to not worry about our burden, but to lift the burden of our neighbor. Free to break the rods of oppression which bear down on the exploited. Free to lift the burdensome yoke of the stranger, the one we do not know. And thus, our neighbors, relieved of their shackles, will straighten their backs. And the joy of the nations will increase. And there will be hope of endless peace, as Isaiah foretold. And we will join, you and I will join at last with our neighbor and dance. Amen.
Thank you.